Thank you for tuning in to the Black and Gold Hockey Podcast. Please subscribe to our weekly Boston Bruins Hockey Talk on listening platforms such as Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Stitcher Radio, and Spotify Podcasts. We'd certainly appreciate it if you give our show a 5-star rating along with a written review. You can also subscribe to our official YouTube channel for a video version of our weekly program. If you'd like to support our show financially, please go to our blackandgoldhockey.com website and click on our affiliated Fanatics banner before shopping online. Another way to financially support our weekly program is to become a Patreon member to be eligible for weekly Boston hockey prizes and monthly Boston Bruins hand-signed jersey giveaways. Please go to patreon.com/blackandgoldhockeypodcast and donate just $1 per episode. Many thanks for the continued support and enjoy the show. What's up, Bruins fans? Welcome back to the Black and Gold Hockey Podcast. This is episode 276, and I'm your host, Mark Allred. Alongside me is co-host Dominic Tiano. Dom, what's going on, man?
Hey, not much, buddy. Not much. Seems like forever since we talked hockey, and it's only been a couple of days. That's how much is going on.
I know. I love the background. We got Brandon Bussy back there, the new AHL Bruins goaltender who's on a bit of a streak. We'll talk about that later. But before that, let's hear from our friend Kevin O'Keefe. Kevin, what's up, buddy?
Not too much, man. Just excited about last night's game and excited about talking hockey with you boys. And I'm doing a little bit better than Dom here, who was chasing around an imaginary monkey earlier. So yeah. No one's going to get that one, but
amazing. No, nobody understands it.
All right. Before we get to the Boston Bruins hockey talk, let's hear from show sponsor betonline.ag. Our partners at BetOnline.ag continue to be the number one source for all your betting needs and sports info. Find all of the latest sports developments, including updated odds on the playoffs, fights, and even next season's futures. And don't forget that the start of the Major League Baseball season is finally here. BetOnline.ag is a continued source for all your sports wagering needs, including live betting and your favorite Vegas casino and poker games. It's super easy to get started, so head over to the betonline.ag official website today or use your mobile device to join and use our promo code CLNS50. That's CLNS50 to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Betonline.ag, it's where the game starts. And as every week, you heard myself talk about the amazing folks at betonline.ag. Fantastic place to place all your wages from all kinds of sports that are going on right now. Hockey, baseball, basketball playoffs, hockey playoffs are coming up. Golf is still going on. And obviously in the fall, football comes around for you pigskin fanatics. So get on board and use that code CLNS50 if you would. We'd certainly appreciate it because it does help us pay some of the bills around here. All right, let's get going. The Bruins come off a 3-game losing streak to beat Pittsburgh on Saturday 2-1, have 2 days off, and then beat St. Louis Blues on the road 3-2 in overtime last night. Is a solid response after a tough week against Washington, St. Louis, and Ottawa. Let's not like you know, get all bent out of shape about the three games that they lost and how they looked, but mine is the recovery against two decent teams most recently. And what we have seen from this Boston Bruins club that is not with certain members of the team, especially a prolific goal scorer like David Pastrnak and an unbelievable blue liner like Hampus Lindholm. So, you know, if you want to jump into what you've seen from both sides, the good, the bad, and the ugly, I'd love to hear what we're seeing now. And can it stay consistent?
I think now, for me, it's about seeing what we saw. It's 20 players, no matter who they are, committed to the system, trying to execute the system for 60 full minutes and extra time if necessary. No more injuries. Work towards getting Ullmark and Pastrnak and Lindholm healthy, and trying to find some chemistry between not so much the forwards, because they're pretty much set, but defensive pairings beyond Lindholm and McAvoy. And I think that's what the remaining half dozen games have to be about. Good enough, and you deal those things good enough, moving up the standings will take care of itself. It's not really something that they should be looking to achieve, but it's about getting into the playoffs hot, playing at the top of your game, and playing it for a full 60-minute effort.
When you look at this team, I mean, I've said it all season, they're, you know, they've been up and down, but ever since January 1st, this team has definitely came into their own. They have one of the best, you know, records in hockey to this point, since January 1st. And I mean, every team in the league has gone through these, you know, these slumps. It's just, it's hitting the Bruins at a time where you'd rather not see that. And for me, I think last night's game, which I'm sure we'll get into, I think last night's game was a good showing for this team to bounce back a bit. Cause they had their first three game losing streak of the entire season. And they were the last team to go through that. I mean, everyone's gone through it. If you think about it, I mean, every team that you're scared of, you know, not you particularly, but, you know, just Bruins fans in general, you know, they've all gone through it, and now you're going through it. And last night was a good game to bounce back. And I'm looking forward to see what they do leading into tomorrow night against Pittsburgh.
Can I throw a stat at you? Sorry,
absolutely.
Kevin. Let me throw a stat at you.
People love the stats. We got
emphasizes what Kevin is talking about. So in the last 13 games, 1-11-1. Guess what team that is?
Tampa.
Sorry, 1-11-1 versus playoff teams.
Tampa.
Carolina. Correct. Oh, all right, never mind.
That's Tampa. 1-11-1. In their last 13 games against playoff teams.
They're on a real slide.
Yeah. Which team would you rather be right now?
Yeah, exactly. I would rather play the Tampa Bay Lightning.
Yeah.
You guys take advantage of that. Absolutely.
What's funny, too, is I said this, like, I think a little over a month ago. I remember we were talking about this stuff, and I said I would love to play Tampa first round. I would love to do it. Just get them out of the way. Get a big – you know, big pump up from that if you were to win it. That would be a fun series. I think this would be the year the Bruins would be able to handle them for sure.
Yeah, and I'm going back to our preseason predictions when Heather was on the program and we were doing it. And I said, you know, the Florida Panthers would be the first. The Bruins would be second in the Atlantic. Tampa Bay would be third. And Toronto would be fourth or first wild card. And it's kind of almost sort of coming to fruition right now, but it's got to do some roster, standings juggling, but it almost looks like the same as I kind of predicted. And I also said back then that this is going to be a very interesting season for the Tampa Bay Lightning, who have not played full years and won two championships in a row. And when they did play a full season, they got swept by the Columbus Blue Jackets. So it's going to be interesting on what team we see from them as the postseason turns and the regular season ends, which is not far away.
I think if it stays the way that it is right now and Tampa plays Toronto, I think Toronto will win that series.
I think so too. But the one thing about Tampa is they weren't two full seasons, Mark, but they played a hell of a lot of hockey.
Right.
They won
right.
two Stanley Cups well within the calendar year, and that's never been done before.
Right.
But you know what? If you look at the remaining schedule, I think Kevin's right. It'll probably finish in the order that they're in now, but I don't know, man. I think we're guaranteed that Florida's locked in first. That's not going to change. Mm-hmm. And Toronto is pretty much locked in second place. That's not going to change.
Yeah. I don't want to play Toronto. I really don't, because I just have a bad feeling about it. Not because I think that, you know, Toronto is the best team in the conference or anything like that, but you know, a blind squirrel gets a nut every once in a while.
Yeah. And yeah, exactly.
I think that this blind squirrel is about to get a nut regardless of who they play. And I don't want it to be the Boston Bruins. I really don't.
Okay. So if it's not Toronto, it's either Carolina or the Rangers.
Right. Now, I'd rather be Carolina than the Rangers.
Taking the Freddie Anderson scenario right out of it, aren't you?
For me, it's more Shesterkin. He scares the crap out of me.
Yeah.
I mean, that guy can steal a series. I mean, that one worries me. For me, right, I mean, it's funny because going back a month ago or so, I mean, you would never have heard me say, like, yeah, give me Carolina. But right now, I'm saying give me Carolina.
Anyway, let's get back on track. In St. Louis, the Boston Bruins were on the road and against a team that beat them last week pretty good, and definitely got retribution on this night or last night. The Bruins beat up on – well, not beat up. It was a very interesting game back and forth, and the Bruins late in the period give up another goal, which is kind of concerning when you're going into the period and you need some rest, and they put that pressure right on you. So, but I thought it was a real good back and forth game, very playoff stylish, but a lot better than the 4-2, beating that the Blues gave us last week.
Yeah, what was St. Louis on a 13-game unbeaten streak or something?
Yep.
At least a 9-game winning streak that I know of.
And the key to that is, I think it was 9-game winning streak. So in those 9 games, they had scored over 4 goals per game.
Wow.
Jesus. So the Bruins were able to lock them down, and that's without Lindholm in the lineup.
They were defensively sound. They were good.
I don't know. Correct me if I'm wrong, Kevin. Were you impressed with the first period? Because I wasn't.
I mean, I was kind of whatever about it, to be honest. I didn't think it was so atrocious, but I also didn't think that they were, you know, good enough, if that makes sense. It was kind of like a whatever period for me.
Yeah. But the second and third, they were able to lock down one of the high-flying teams in the National Hockey League as of late.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, and if we can get that down to a consistent 60-minute effort, this team could be very, very explosive in the playoffs. But, you know, it remains to be seen with 6 games to go and how they do, because they are going to be playing teams that are out of the playoffs that are going to want to play a bit of a spoiler. They're not going to take us out of the playoffs, but they're just going to be that team that has nothing to prove. But, you know, hey, we beat a playoff team, but you know, we got the Rangers on Saturday, which I'm stoked I'm going to be there with Thomas Nystrom and Nick Bussa and Jared Martin, and Montreal on Saturday.
Sunday.
But then it gets crazy. You start seeing a Florida Panthers team come into TD Garden on Tuesday, and they get Buffalo, which can play that spoiler type of role, and then Toronto to end the year, basically. Hopefully the the last two wins give these guys motivation to like really take advantage of what they have here. I'm not totally sure that they can catch the Toronto Maple Leafs right now, who are 8 points ahead or 9 points ahead. So I have to agree with Dom on that. Yeah, they got the Bruins have 99 and then the first wild card spot, and Toronto has 109.
Jeez.
108.
Oh man. That happened quick. It's gonna be interesting. It really is. I mean, out of the games remaining, I could totally see, I think they'll lose the Toronto game, but that's not because I think that. I think it's because it's gonna be the last game of the season, and I think the Bruins are gonna roll out a lot of people that aren't regularly in the lineup. So I could totally see them losing that game. I think they could possibly lose tomorrow night. And then from there, I think they can win the rest. I think they do.
I just hope they win on Saturday. Being there and having a win is so much better than going home with your tail between your legs and probably half shit-faced. And
I'll pray for Georgiev and net for you.
Yeah, thanks. Well, even though he's been really doing good, too.
Yeah, at least it ain't Shesterkin, though.
Yeah, that's true. All right. Moving on to another topic that seems to be gaining some traction with a particular photo that Barstool Sports' Marina Maharis shared. And I had to share it on the Facebook and give her credit to it. But it's Mike Riley. Defenseman Mike Riley cannot catch a break with the high sticks calls. And last night's call against Braden Schenn, he has 6 penalties in his 6 games, and 4 of them are coming from the high stick. So this is the image I wanted to show you because I absolutely lost my shit when I saw this. But the YouTube viewers are going to like it. Mike.
Oh, Jesus.
That is too funny. Shout out to Marina for that one. That's awesome. But it is true, man. He's got no control of that stick. You know, and I didn't see when he put his back to the glass – I didn't see like there was a huge like whiplash motion that would actually move the stick towards the head like that. It was almost like he just brought it around like he whacked a home run and the bat just went flying. You know, it's like you got to have more control of the stick over that, and they're gonna call everything that's gonna be up in the face.
You know, it's at the point now that it's getting ridiculous, and I'm sure fans don't want to hear this, but there comes a point, Riley's already there, that you get a reputation, and referees are looking for it now. And all it takes is now for a referee's line of vision not to be exactly perfect, and Riley have his stick up, and the player just throw his head back, and the call's going against him 10 times out of 10.
Yeah.
So, like, Don Cherry's got to be losing his shit watching this because Don Cherry was as mean as anybody and loved to have his teams play mean, but it was keep your sticks on the goddamn ice. And, you know.
I'm going to put a shock collar on Riley during practice. I think this is what Cassidy should do. He should put a shock collar on him. And every time he raises the stick above a certain point, he gets shocked.
That'd be funny.
That'll teach him.
and it sucks that, you know, somebody got a stick to the face, but obviously Braden Chen's going to be okay. He's a hockey player. But did you notice that as soon as it happened, Mike Riley's face, like, oh, shit, I did that.
Yeah.
he busted himself right there, basically.
Yeah, he's got to calm that down, because especially if we do end up playing a team like Toronto in the playoffs, I mean, God, you got to be disciplined.
Yeah.
You know, if you're taking penalties like that, you know, I said the same thing about Frederick last week. If he ends up taking, you know, bad penalties like that, if Clifton gets in there, and he's known for his high sticks too. So, I mean, it's just – be disciplined, know what you're doing, because if you face a team like Toronto and you're giving them that many power plays, you're screwed.
Our penalty kill is good, but it's not great. And to play these teams that are coming up in the playoffs and you're giving them basically a power play and a man advantage, whatever you want to, you know, theme it, it's never good. And especially in the postseason, because, you know, anything could happen. The intensity goes up that much more in games like that. So, I don't know.
And speaking of the special teams here, here's something that I just thought of that in a way that I never thought of it before. But if the Bruins don't figure out their power play, teams are going to be more willing in the playoffs commit penalties against them in situations where they feel like they need to. If it's a scoring chance, something like that, they're going to be more apt to be like, you know what, sure, take the power play because you can't score on it anyway. And they're just, I think it could end up hurting them in that way too. It's just a random thought. I don't know. I mean, obviously I have no idea if that's true or not, but right. Makes sense in my head at least.
You end up getting, just like Riley getting a reputation with the referees, the Bruins power play gets a reputation amongst the other 15 teams in the playoffs. And it's, hey, they're 0-for-28 on the power play. They just cannot score. So yeah, I'll take a shot at Patrice Bergeron standing in front of the net and take a 2-minute penalty for it. It'll make him think twice about standing in front of the net again. And what have I got to worry about? They can't score.
Yep.
So yeah, I can see totally where Kevin's coming from.
All right, let's move on to the next one. I just had to take a screenshot of that because I love the background, Dom. Boosie. It's actually Bussy.
Oh, Bussy.
Yeah.
That's not as fun.
Yeah, I know. But that's how Austin Rook, who does the play-by-play for the Providence Bruins on AHL TV, he pronounces it. So that's what I'm going with because he gets
it. Georgi Melkulov.
Dude, that was so creepy when I was freaking editing the freaking thing. I'm like, oh god!
I swear,
is he behind me?
I'm gonna have to go and just dig 6 feet deep because one day he's gonna kill us all. I'm telling you.
I love it. The injury bug continues to plague us a little bit, and Bruce Cassidy does have to make some shifts on the in positions on the lineup and so on. But I was really curious on your thoughts on the small sample size, but the thoughts of Curtis Lazar playing second line versus St. Louis last night. I'll go first. I thought he brought speed, grit, which it was good, and somebody to like stick up for another teammate like Taylor Hall and so on. When Liberties might have gotten taken on him, Lazar was right in there in the face and so on. But not somebody that obviously Pasternak's coming back sooner or later, we hope anyway. But this isn't a permanent thing. But what are your thoughts on Lazar getting the call up and on the second line? Because, you know, I mean, next man up mentality. And, you know, although he wasn't lighting up the score sheet or anything like that, I thought he made several impacts in the game, which are important to the coaching staff.
You want to go first, Dom, or do you want me?
Yeah. No, go ahead, Kevin.
I mean, obviously it's not something that you want to have, obviously, but I do think he created a lot of space for Taylor Hall. He was kind of just running havoc in the offensive zone, and it kind of gave Hall some space to really get open, especially on his goal. I feel like a lot of that is because of Curtis Lazar able to create that havoc and space for him to just be alone there. So I thought he did a really good job. I think I'd rather see a guy like McLaughlin get a chance there, even though it's still a small sample size with him. I just think he has a bit more offensive capabilities. Even though Lazar was, you know, a pretty high draft pick, it was what it was, right? I mean, he definitely made some impacts. You want to see, you just want Pasta back. That's we just want Pasta back.
Yeah. It's funny. Kevin mentioned like creating space for Taylor Hall. David Pasternak does that too, but they're so different that they do it in different ways. Pasternak is so skilled that he draws the attention of the opposition that he opens up space for Taylor Hall that way. Whereas Lazar goes in and is not afraid to bang and cause, be a shit disturber and and cause havoc, as Kevin said, and open up space that way. So both can benefit Taylor Hall, but I just don't think Lazar, McLaughlin, or anybody you want to throw up there is going to create near enough offense that David Pastrnak does to make that line efficient. I'm with Kevin. We want Pastrnak back, and we want him back yesterday.
Yep. Here's a question for you, for both of you, actually. I was thinking about this. With the third line cooling off here, would you be interested in putting Smith up there with Halla and Hall until Pasta is able to come back?
For me, no. And I'll tell you why. I want that third line, the coil line, to work through whatever it is that they're going through. And to split them up is not giving them that opportunity. I mean, we need that third line being what that third line was a few weeks ago. And the best way to let that happen is let them work through whatever it is they're going through.
And I'm going to totally agree on what Dom said, but I'm also going to add, I can see where you're coming from with the shooting mentality that Smith brings to any line, especially on that third line that we're seeing right now, or lack thereof at this moment. I'm sure they'll get back together and be dominant once again. But, I think that no matter the second or the third, he'd be a really good positional player that can just throw the puck on net when he gets it and create opportunities. But he can do that on the third line as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I figured that's exactly what you guys were going to say. I just wanted to pose a question to get your thoughts.
Yeah, no problem at all. Speaking of creativity, lately it's we haven't really seen much of Jake DeBrusk on the score sheet, but I've seen many parts of his game when he has seemed like he's slumped a little bit lately. It's not so bad. It's not like, you know, he's gliding out there, as many would say, and not trying. I think he's still involved and he's still making those small impacts that are important. But last night was a great example of his creativity, especially on the overtime goal for Charlie McAvoy, who was just coming in and called the puck, called for it, saw Jake had it behind the net, and Jake was really good about getting his body position to keep the puck moving along the back of the wall to turn it around and look out front for somebody that's coming in layers. And what we're seeing from Jake is just something special. And I just want to continue to, like, just say that he's just making me think a lot about what has been going on previously. And he's fighting through this himself. He's getting more comfort out there and with his offensive capabilities, gaining more trust and so on. And I think he really likes playing beside two players like Brad Marchand and Patrice Bergeron. So I hope this continues, because that would just mean that he's just another valued asset on the line that could be dominant in the playoffs. And when you can, and if you can, you know, supplement that by more secondary scoring and get that third line running a little bit more offensively and that puck possession style and that grindy kind of play, I think that's a really successful, you know, soup for a deep run. Now, I'm not sure about Stanley Cup success, but, you know, maybe a third round, maybe a second round. Who knows, you know?
I have no issues with Jake DeBrusk. I haven't in a while. He's playing far beyond what I thought his best, or what he was capable of being at his best. So no qualms. I'm more impressed with his goal last night than the setup of the 14 winner.
Yeah.
To pounce on his own rebound and in a split second have the hands and the vision and the ability to recognize, hey, I've got less than half a second here to pounce on this and roof it upstairs the way he did. Yeah. Not many NHL players can do that. And he did it. So I was far more impressed with that goal than I was with the setup.
Yeah, that's. I was gonna say that. I mean, the hands he had on that. I mean, to be able to elevate it that much under the bar, that close, that takes serious skill. that's nothing to, you know, I mean, because if you think about it, it's like you got a little disc and, you know, you got a stick and you got to do something with it. And what he did with it was beautiful. I mean, it was just a gorgeous goal. I mean, if Dom didn't say something about it, I was going to, even though I just did. It was so fun to watch. I mean, and another thing about that McAvoy goal in overtime, Charlie Coyle, I mean, he put on a ton of pressure to make that happen. He really stayed with the puck, and he was a big reason for that as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I know about the Jake DeBrusk goal and that one. I just totally forgot about it. I was thinking about the overtime winner, but yeah, Jake's hands and his creativity are all there. You know, that's the type of stuff you do see from a first round pick. You know, those attributes are freaking solid for him, and glad he's fighting through everything that he's going through. You know, and creating opportunities for the Bruins to win. And in that, I think that it makes him more of a complete player if he's making his teammates happy as well, you know. One big happy family. So do you guys have anything you guys want to talk about, or just go right through this agenda?
I'll go right through the agenda, buddy.
All right. So we just talked about Jake DeBrusk. Let's go. We might as well jump right into it with our guest back wall of the hour. And that's Brandon Boosie. But with Providence Bruins veteran goaltender Troy Grosnick with the NHL Bruins, newly signed Brandon Boosie has had an admirable pro start in three straight games. And he's earning AHL accolades as the player of the week. I mean, I never really knew about this player, but seeing him watching video when he was at Western Michigan and the way he's been playing lately, the first game was on Saturday. I thought he did very well. And then Sunday, getting a shutout. And then last night, he did have a rough start to the game against Lehigh Valley, but really fought his way through to better position himself and feel more relaxed in the crease and really fought his way back to help the Bruins get the overtime win provided by somebody we'll talk about later on. But what I wanted to talk about Brandon Boosie is you could see a lot of Dan Vladar's style in him, and you could see already that Bob Asenza and Mike Dunham have gotten to him as a bigger goaltender and how to play at this level. And I think the way he plays his depth is a little bit different than he did in college. I'm not sure if anybody else has noticed that he's, for a bigger goaltender, he's playing more in the middle of the crease and not at the top as much. And I think that is from the tutelage of the two unbelievable members of the Boston Bruins organization that have control of the crease pretty much, especially when it comes to a development role. This might be a sneakingly good signing for the Bruins management and something that, prepares the Boston, I mean, prepares the Providence Bruins for the playoffs and the rest of the season. Because it to me, I kind of have a feeling that Troy Grosnick will be that third goaltender because of his experience. And I think Kaiser and Boosie are going to be, or Busty are going to be, heavily reliant on those two playing in Providence. Sorry if I'm bibling my words, man. Jesus.
I have yet to see him play, so I have nothing to say other than don't tell Bruins fans that a goaltender's doing good because, you know, he's going to be expected to win them 20 cups. Go ahead, Don.
It's we were talking a bit about this before, or Mark and I were, before we started recording. Kevin was eating his first supper. He's eating his second now.
I wasn't even eating when I came in.
So
impatiently waiting.
And we've talked about this previously on podcasts before. The Bruins have got some decisions to make when it comes to their goaltending prospects coming up this offseason. what better chance now? The Providence has clinched a playoff berth. You know, they had was it 3 games in 3 days? Mark?
No, they played Saturday, Sunday, and then they played last night.
That's 3 and 4.
Yeah.
So it was a good opportunity to get them in there, back to back to break to back nights, see how we can handle the situation, you know, and in some tight games, possibly help the Bruins decide in what direction they're going to move in the offseason. Now, I could see them going with a Kaiser Boosie or Bussie, whichever you prefer, tandem for next season. And then you're looking for a goaltender you can throw in the ECHL for that year. Whether, you know, whether they want to bring back Calen Booth or Jeremy Brodeur or whoever. But they had to see what they had in them. And this was the perfect opportunity. So I think going forward, you might see a split in starts. And whoever takes the net for Providence now is going to run it through the playoffs.
Yeah, absolutely. Unless they do that wacky schedule of 3 and 3. I don't see that being a factor in the first round because it is a best of three.
Yeah.
And then the second's a best of five, and then they go 7 games the next two. If they go that far, that'd be awesome because it hasn't been done since 1999. And that would be a tremendous thing for newly hired head coach Ryan Muginell, this is his rookie season behind the bench. I mean, he has been an assistant with Providence and other East Coast teams and so on, and American Hockey League teams out west. I think it was San Jose Barracuda for quite some time. So, I mean, if he could capture a Calder Cup, that'd be an amazing story. And he's done a fantastic job with Trent Whitfield and Matt Thomas.
I'll tell you what to do in the offseason when it comes to this goaltending conundrum. You trade Swayman in a package for Draisaitl to Edmonton, and then you have the next Jacob Markstrom there in Boosie. So you're all set. So there you go. That's my horrible take.
Yeah, Kevin coming in here with the world burning take.
You can yell at me at Kevin O'Keefe 89. Kevin, yeah, where's please. Underscore. Oh, Kevin underscore O'Keefe 89.
Yeah, please. Dom's gonna whack you. I love it. All right. Today, the Boston Bruins announced dates concerning individual and regular season awards, and I took some notes here. The player awards on Tuesday, April 26th, before the Bruins game against the Florida Panthers, the Bruins will announce the recipients of the Eddie Shore Award, the Elizabeth Dufresne Trophy, and the John P. Busick Award, and also the 98.5 Three Stars. On April 26th, the Bruins post the annual shirts off their backs ceremony after the game. And then fan appreciation is Thursday, April 28th, when the Bruins take on the Buffalo Sabres at TD Garden. And the seventh player award is also that night. But one of the reasons why I wanted to bring one of these up is obviously the last one that I mentioned. Why don't we get into it? Because I'm not sure. I mean, we're probably going to do a show, but if we don't do a show next Wednesday and bring it and do one for the on Saturday or Sunday as a playoff preview, let's get it in now. Who is our seventh player award winners as of right now? Let's
go. Eric Halla.
It's Eric Halla for me as well, but unfortunately, I don't think he was a choice for the voting.
I believe he was. Was he
I
not?
I didn't see him. Nope. I didn't see his name.
I thought it got added.
Oh, if it got added.
I could be wrong. I thought I saw on social media he got it, but I could be wrong.
Yeah, if he got added, he absolutely should be the seventh player award because he has stepped into shoes that are very hard to fill. Now, that's not me saying that he's playing as well as David Krejci would have. That's just me saying that he is doing a phenomenal job dealing with the blow of losing a player like David Krejci.
Yeah. Now, that's from a realistic world from all of us. But when you consider a fan vote, is it going to be a popularity contest as usual? Because you know a bunch of people are going to be out there going, Jeremy Swayman should get it.
I mean, if Nick Ritchie can win one, I mean, Eric Halla can win 20 of them.
There you go. That's a valid point right there.
Here's my issue with it. I'm not saying that the media is any better, but you would think the media would know better. Any vote that you're requiring fans to vote on is always going to turn into a popularity vote.
Yep.
I think you should take the Boston Hockey Writers Association or whatever it is and have them vote on it. Or just let me decide.
Yeah, there you go. You know,
I love it.
Or he'll whack you all.
Yeah, I'll whack you all. Otherwise, it is going to be a popularity contest. And I think they tried to eliminate that by giving people a choice of who to vote for without making 25 guys eligible for it. But it's still going to turn out into a popularity contest.
That's true.
Was Jeremy Swayman an option?
I didn't even know about.
I honestly don't remember.
Yeah, I never saw the list.
If Jeremy Swayman is an option, I could see him winning it because, you know, he's already won 10 cups in the minds of Bruins fans. So
I love it.
I mean, I'm speaking facts.
No, I know. Why don't we take our break right now and hear from Bruce Sullivan from Boston Sports and Music Memorabilia. He's your one-stop shop for all black and gold hand-signed stuff, like hand-signed jerseys, like this Jerry Cheever's fully authenticated jersey that we're giving away today. We're giving this away today, folks. And also hand-signed pucks like Rick Minnington and so on. We're giving that one away today as well. But let's listen to him, and we'll talk on the other side. We got some more Boston Bruin talky talk to go, so stay tuned.
And I can eat my chicken.
I'm keeping that.
You have to keep it. I want to try that.
Hello, Bruins fans. This is Bruce from Boston Sports and Music Memorabilia with our Black and Gold Memorabilia Moment of the Week. We are proud to have hosted Bruins legendary enforcer Stan Jonathan. Score with a black Jonathan JSA authenticated jersey with Big Bad Bruins inscription for just $79 delivered. Or take home a Reggie Lemelin black or white Bruins jersey with two inscriptions and JSA for just $79, or a Lemelin JSA puck or photo for just $34. On April 24th, we've got Jerry Cheever's and Miracle on Ice gold medalist Dave Christian. For more information on our dozens of Bruins hand-signed pieces and your chance to win free memorabilia each week, check us out at our Facebook page, Boston Sports and Music Memorabilia, or email us directly at bostonsportsandmusic@gmail.com. And be sure to tune in each week right here to the Black and Gold Hockey Podcast. Let's go!
All right, Bees fans, we're back. We just heard from Bruce Sullivan, the amazing Bruce Sullivan from Boston Sports and Music Memorabilia. Like I said, he's got all the needs that you need to get that fan cave spiced up with some more Bruins stuff and hand-signed items from like Reggie Lemelin and Johnny Busick and Jerry Cheevers and even Bobby Orr and Derek Sanderson. So if you heard his information that he provided, please write that down. Go back and write it down and get in touch with him because he's got some stuff for sale and it's really good. And the cheap prices too, by the way. Nothing's outrageously priced. Anybody can look like a professional fan cave when you shop with Bruce Sullivan and Boston Sports and Music Memorabilia. All right, we're back. We're talking Bees. And the agenda points us to Boston Bruins prospect John Beecher. And he had a big game last night against the visiting Lehigh Valley Phantoms. He scored his first goal of his pro career and added the game winner in overtime, 5-4 victory. And boy, did he look good in this one. This is technically his third pro game. I believe he got into Saturday's and Sunday's game and also last night. So that makes three for my Amesbury math. And I thought that he really turned it on for the better when he got that first goal. His game elevated so highly. He was absolutely buzzing everywhere, and particularly in the overtime. He was one of the players that were heavily relied on to create some space and get a shot on net coming in the layers. So good on him to finally, you know, finally got to see him. It's been a year or two that we've all, well, I've thought that he would sign early, but the national championship this season and being with a really heavily stacked Michigan club was important to him. And I can't blame him. You know, if you've got a chance to win a college championship, you go for it. But it's really good to see his pro level game. And I hope it continues because he's still a solid chip for a bottom six forward on the Boston Bruins NHL roster. And it's good to have him at least locked up on the ATO with the Providence Bruins. He has not signed an entry-level contract quite yet, but I think if I ask the man to my – Dom, the ATO signing, does it mean that he can be eligible for the playoffs? And if he signs an ELC, he cannot be eligible for the playoffs? So I thought read something.
He's eligible either way.
Okay.
He's eligible either way. It's just, Callahan, what does his contract start?
Next season, I believe.
Next season, too. I'm trying to find an example of an ELC.
I read it on Twitter, so it probably wasn't true.
No.
Didn't McAvoy sign an ATO?
He signed an ATO and then had to sign an ELC to get up to the NHL because they needed him. We talked about it last podcast. We'll use Kyle Kizer and Jack Stadnik as an example.
That's right. That's right.
We're under ELCs, came up once the OHL season was over, and bam, into the playoffs.
Yeah.
So I don't know who's spreading that.
Yeah. Okay.
I will say this about John Beecher, because I've been as tough on him as anybody about his production through college. But every other aspect of his game was just fine. There's no issues with it. John Beecher is a creature of confidence. And when he has that confidence, you see it in his game tenfold. And I think that's what we saw yesterday. After he scored the first goal, you could see his confidence just go skyrocket through the roof. And he was just that much better. I will say this about the overtime goal, because I've seen a lot of different comments on social media about it, about the perfect shot and this and that and the other thing. And I'm sure I'll have people shit on me over saying this, but that shot is not going in on an NHL goaltender. I mean, that's my opinion. An NHL goaltender is not giving up that shot 99 times out of 100. Still, that's not taking away anything from him, because he was that much better once his first goal came. Not that there was anything wrong with his game before that.
What I saw from him is he's gained every game. He was gaining more confidence, and it was more or less, it felt to me personally that he was stepping away from a really stacked Michigan team that was heavily relied on a lot of other supporting members like Owen Power and Brandon Brisson and those types of players. But now that he's turned into a pro, the spotlight is not all on that team anymore. It's like, he's moved on to the pro level. Now it's time to really, work hard and do as much as an individual as you can to be a piece of notice that the Boston Bruins can still keep tabs on you and so on. You know, because I still think that he's going to be a decent piece, but he's not going to light up the score sheet every freaking night. But he's possibly in the future going to be that bottom six forward that could just make those impacts like a Trent Frederick. You know, he does have offensive capabilities, but he doesn't always use them. So, you know, And he's and Beecher's a big body too, and we've seen him, you know, even in the AHL, he can land some decent hits. And in the NCAA, when you know you have face masks and everything, but he was still landing some pretty powerful hits, questionable ones, yeah, but still powerful ones. But you know, I think that he's still going to be a decent member of the Bruins organization in the future, regardless of his point production. Would love to see him get more, obviously, but work in progress.
Now, how's his speed been at the AHL level?
It's been good. I mean, it's not explosive like Merlakov. Dom, hit me up.
Yorgi Merkulov.
Merkulov. That's right,
me, dude.
I know. I love it.
That scares me.
But not like him. I mean, Yorgi, he's got absolute just top notch speed. The first game I saw him play, I was like, wow, this guy can move in this league. It really didn't take him long to navigate through traffic and so on in a mixed league of ages, not just NCAA players that are traditionally 18, 19, and 20 and so on. But I thought he did really well. Edge work is just unbelievable. He's in another solid piece that the Boston Bruins have under lock and key for a little while at least.
If the Bruins can build a bottom six for the future that has size and speed.
But no, good on Johnny Beecher to get his feet wet and so on. And Ryan Mougenel and his coaching staff are going to continue to work with him and his offensive capabilities. I think he's going to be a solid piece. All right, moving on. Has the Boston Bruins defense taking a step up in play recently over some troubling times, including three straight games last week when they lost to Washington, Ottawa, and St. Louis? And can this blue line stay consistent even without Hampus Lindholm? I thought the past couple of games have been really good.
The way that defense played last night, they could shut down any offense in the league. That's just my opinion.
I'm still going to say that the two teams that scare me are Carolina and, yes, Tampa. I'm not afraid of Florida. I'm not afraid of Toronto. I'm not afraid of the Rangers offense. Like Kevin, I'm afraid of Shesterkin and what he could do, to steal a series. Heck, he's capable of stealing a Stanley Cup. So I wish I could have seen Boston and Carolina with a healthy Lindholm on the roster to see what kind of difference that would have made.
Rumor has it, Linus Allmark could be good to go this weekend versus the Rangers or on Montreal on Sunday. That's good news moving forward to get your goaltending tandem back on track, ready for the playoffs and so on. Should the Bruins rush him back or to get him in some games, or do we take it easy with him as well?
Yeah, the Bruins don't bring anybody back unless they're ready, especially when it comes to concussions. And we're just assuming that that's what Allmark was because of the way the puck hit him. The Bruins learned a long time ago with Patrice Bergeron, you just don't rush those back. So if he's not ready, he ain't going in. If it were me, I would start him against the Rangers and then start Swayman against the Canadiens. And the reason why I say that is, you know, they're a 1A and a 1B, but Allmark is coming back cold. You want your number one starting and getting the guaranteed 2 points. You don't want to waste his start in a game that you could lose. You right now you want the guaranteed points, and that is against Montreal. So you give Allmark the start against the Rangers. With it being an afternoon game, I also think Allmark is better in afternoon starts than Swayman is, if I remember correctly. So
okay.
That's what I would lean toward.
Yeah, because for me, Allmark is the guy I'm going with game one of the playoffs.
I would have agreed with you until last night, Kevin. I really would have. After last night, I don't know anymore.
I'm still going Allmark. I don't want to see. I mean, I don't want to see. And this is not to say that this would happen, but I don't want to see Swayman get thrown into something that maybe he's not ready for.
Like Toronto? Like that Toronto Maple Leafs start?
Yeah, I mean, it's I don't know if he's ready. Yeah, he's having a good bounce back here, but I don't know. I don't know if that's the goaltender that you put your trust in. I mean, I understand Elias hasn't had any playoff experience as well, but he's got a lot more NHL experience under his belt than a Jeremy Swayman. And I think they've been neck and neck this entire season. Swayman's pulled away for a little bit. Allmark has pulled away for a little bit. It's been pretty back and forth. So I say go with Allmark for at least the first two games, see what you have there. And if you need to make a switch, make it then.
I would definitely agree, Kevin, with you on the comparables on the regular season success and so on. But for me, and this is not a knock on Jeremy Swayman, and I'm not hating and so on for the listeners out there who think I do, because I wanted to see him go to Providence, and everybody else was like, no, you're going to ruin his career if you do. But I mean, you see in the last couple of games that he's had to stand up and next man up and so on. I got to be that guy in the crease now until my buddy comes back. But it remains the same that Swayman still has kind of a sketchy record against playoff teams that are currently involved right now. And that to me is a bit of a concern. And yes, I am a little bit nervous about what I saw against the Toronto Maple Leafs when, there was a lot of pressure. His original six matchup, his family was involved. It's Toronto and Boston. We totally get all that. It's really hyped up. But when the playoffs happen, that intensity goes up too. And that's just got something in the back of my head that just, a little bit of a concern. It's not the end of the world, I'm thinking. It's just a little bit of a concern about a goaltender that's young and hasn't been in the league for a long time and just coming into the postseason for the first time. Allmark has been around a little while and hasn't seen any postseason success. So, I mean, it's a bit of a gamble on both goaltenders right now going into their first postseasons. But, if you have to look at the records and who's playing well against playoff teams, you kind of have to give the nod to Allmark in this one, because he has been the better goaltender, especially coming down the stretch, in my opinion, before what happened with the shot off of Oscar Steen's stick into the side of the head. No, it wasn't Oscar Steen. I'm sorry. It was Froden. Froden. the Swedish thing. But anyway.
I agree with what you said, though.
Thanks, buddy. Even though I fumble, you still agree. I love it. All right. Yeah. That's it for topics that I have. Is there anything else that you guys want to bring up before? Any particular matchup that you're concerned about coming up for the week?
I think the only one I'm particularly and this is with the teams, actually playing, not, putting in subs and so on and so forth, because I think that's going to happen for, maybe the remaining two games or so, or maybe just the last. But I think for me, it's tomorrow's game, the Pittsburgh game. I have a bad feeling for the Bruins on this one.
I just want to see the continued improvement towards a 60-minute effort, playing the right way, playing the system to a T. And, as long as I see that, I'm happy, win or lose, because I know it won't be a full roster, but I want to see that commitment and that continued commitment and continued improvement heading into the last five games after tomorrow night.
Here's a good question for you guys. If the Bruins were to be overtaken by Washington and become the last wild card instead of the first, would that be kind of beneficial because then you're playing Florida, even though they have a lot of regular season success here.
That's a tough matchup for me. Florida is just a wagon, but Jesus, Kevin, you hit me hard with that one.
I mean, it's like, are you more worried about Carolina or New York or Florida? Like, out of those three teams, who is the least – which team is the least that you'd worry about?
From least to worst, it would be the Rangers, Florida, Carolina.
That's mine, except for I have the Rangers flip-flopped with Florida just because of Shesterkin, to be honest. He really scares me.
Yeah, he scares me too, but the Bruins have played the Rangers great this season. I'm not sure what the final record was, but they played them well. They played Florida well. They've actually played Florida very well. They have not played well against Carolina. It's like, what was it? 18-1 in three games?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, but with Carolina, I feel like we never had a fighting chance against them. I mean, we had Rask, who was clearly just not all there health-wise. Probably even in that game. He probably was feeling what he was feeling in that game. And that's not me putting the loss on him, of course. I mean, it takes an entire team to lose, and and they didn't have Lindholm. And then the other Carolina game, they didn't have Patrice Bergeron or Brad Marchand in that game. And they were just kind of all out of sorts. I wish I could see another game between the Bruins and Carolina where the Bruins have Lindholm and they have their other pieces intact. We won't be able to see that unless it's the playoffs, and that's pretty scary. So,
but we never saw Lindholm against the Rangers. We never saw Lindholm against the Panthers. And the Bruins held their own against them. And wasn't Marchand missing in one game against the Rangers?
I don't remember.
No, I don't either. Yeah, for me, it would probably go Florida, the Rangers, and Carolina. So my easiest path of resistance, it's not going to be easy, but would be I'd like to see the Tampa Bay Lightning Boston Bruins series first, get it out of the way.
I'd like to see that too, to be honest. I mean, with the skid they're on, I mean, honestly, it's playoff hockey is completely different. They could all turn it on. They're winners. They're proven winners.
That series is a virtual impossibility for it.
Yeah, at this point. Right? Yep. And then you have Vasilevskiy as well, which if you're scared of Shesterkin, you should very well be scared of a guy like Andre Vasilevskiy. The East is just so stacked. It's tough. It's going to be tough. I mean, if a team wins a cup in the East, that is going to be a well-deserved cup win. Yeah. I mean, that is going to be insane. Whichever team makes it to the Stanley Cup Finals in the East here, oh, man, they could just get pummeled by who comes out of the West because they're so broken and battered by the time they get there. You never know. I mean, it's going to be interesting to see how this goes.
For sure.
Now, speaking of the West, what do you guys think of the Vegas Golden Knights?
Oh, I laugh every day about it.
Oh, boy. What's going on with them? They falling apart?
Yeah, they just trade away all their draft capital, all their, you know, all of their assets that they do have, you know, to go after that big fish to continue trying to win a cup. And now they're not even going to make the playoffs, it looks like. So
I don't know, man. It's like injuries really, really killed them this year. It's just too bad because I like the team that they were building. And, you know, you talk about the Bruins being a hot team since January 1st. Look at the Vancouver Canucks ever since they brought in Bruce Boudreau as coach. 30-13-5.
Wow.
Yeah, that's crazy. And
if not for that stupid loss last night, I would have given them a shot to overtake LA and make the playoffs.
Right. Wow.
Because it would have been 4 points out with a game in hand. And then they had to lose in overtime last night.
Yeah, that was a hell of a run, too, by the Canucks. Yeah, I was going to get on the action of that last night against Ottawa.
Yeah, and Ottawa beat them in overtime. Killed them.
How did Senishin do?
He already got sent down.
Oh.
Yeah, so he played a game or two, and then the on EP transactions, they had him going back to Belleville.
Wow. Interesting.
So he played in two games.
I want to say he played in two games. I could be wrong on that, but I know he was up for at least one.
They just don't want to have that pick turn into a better pick for the Bruins.
Yeah. A six-rounder, you know.
Exactly. All right, boys, if you guys don't have anything else, let's wrap this mofo up. What do you think?
Yeah, I don't think I have anything else.
Yeah, it's the only thing I got is after watching Kevin eat, I got to go have some cheesecake.
That actually sounds really good right now.
Yeah.
Damn you, Dom.
You going to give some cheesecake to your imaginary friend as well?
My imaginary monkey? I really did apply to get a monkey years ago. But
no way.
I got turned down, man.
Were you going to call it Spank?
Spanky.
Oh, Spanky.
Yeah.
Could you imagine a monkey on Dom's shoulder as we're recording?
I'm having a hard time getting a bussy. A boosie.
Oh, you can name it Boosie.
There you go.
When you get it, name it Boosie. Be like, come here, Boosie. Yes. Give me a Boosie.
Come see Kevin. He's eating. We'll get Mark to hold his banana up there.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, you guys kill me. Yeah. All right, let's wrap this up before it gets too crazy. We do have a Patreon account that I'm going to put up right now. We're going to tell you about that. For $1, you get eligible to be into the monthly jersey giveaways and Bruins hand-signed stuff like pucks and pictures. We give that stuff every week. And the monthly jerseys every month. So the winner of one of the hand signed pucks is going to go to our boy Andrew Taverna. Congratulations to Taverna. He's been a longtime Patreon supporter. Truly appreciate him. And he actually won a jersey a couple months ago, an Andy Moog one. But anyway, it's the big day. Jerry Chivas is getting shipped out sometime this week. And it's going to, I believe, the New Brunswick or New Brunswick area of Canada. This is going to Mark McDonald. Mark, congratulations. Thank you very much for your contribution. Truly appreciate it, buddy. And I'll send this out.
Congratulations,
Mark. I'll send this out as soon as possible. Mark's a fantastic supporter. He's the admin that has Bruins for Life on Facebook, which has 25,000 members, so shout out to him and congratulations on that.
And again, boy,
yeah, that's right. He's got a beard that's like down to his feet. I'm not kidding you.
Really?
Yeah. He's been to award shows for the longest beard. It's kind of a cool story.
Wow.
Yeah. But anyway, if you want to get involved.
Kevin What's gets that? Hungry, he could probably find some food in there for us.
Jesus.
But anyway, if you want to get involved in the hand-signed jerseys and Bruins Prize giveaways, the information is right there for the YouTube viewers. And please go to patreon.com/blackandgoldhockeypodcast for our audio listeners. We'd certainly appreciate it. But anyway, thanks again, everybody, for all the support. We truly appreciate that. And thanks to Dom and Kevin for joining me on back on a Wednesday recording, which is good. I'm on vacation, little relaxed, little time with the dog and the wife. So totally excited about that. And okay.
Hi, Winston.
Yeah.
In the background?
No, he's downstairs recording. Oh.
Dom's just sitting there pointing at his background. Like, but what? And honestly, I feel nauseous from that comment, Dom, about eating out of somebody else's beard. That literally is making me feel like I'm sick.
No, well, go have some cheesecake.
I don't know. I'm not eating anything for the rest of the night now. Thanks.
All right, boys. All right. Go Bees.
Go Bees. Jorgen Kulak.
Thanks again for tuning in and supporting this week's episode of the Black and Gold Hockey Podcast. Please give the show a 5-star rating and write a review on listening platforms such as Apple Podcasts and Spotify Podcasts. If you'd like to contact the show for advertising opportunities or to send us a question or topic idea we should be discussing, please send us an email to blackandgoldproductionsllc@gmail.com. Don't forget to share our program on your social media platforms with other hockey fans and follow our Twitter accounts at blackandgoldpod, at BNG Productions, at blackandgold277, and at Kevin_O'Keefe89. Also, please don't forget to check out our official blackandgoldhockey.com website where we cover the Bruins organization from the NHL level down to the prospects worldwide. Peace out.